Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Coach Radio Network, where we share expert and professional coaching techniques to help make a difference in your life. I'm Claudette Chenevere, the lead host for today, joined by my two co-hosts, Danica Trebell and Connie Costello. And today's episode is on emotions, food, and expectations. Now, every day we process millions of bits of information in our head, and those thoughts influence our emotions and our behaviors. And our emotions and behaviors influence the lifestyle we choose to live, including how we eat as well as our expectations of ourselves. But before we jump into our show, I'd like to share with you or let you know two ways for you to join our call. So you can dial in our show, which the number is 646-716-9397, or you can join us in our chat box, chat room, which is located just below our Blog Talk Radio show. And you know, I'd love to hear what you think, and if you have any comments you'd like to share with us, don't hesitate to either write them in the chat box below or, again, call us at 646-716-9397. So let me share a little bit more about Life Coach Radio Show and our co-host. So Life Coach Radio Network comprised of Life Coach Radio Network, International Life Coach Radio, and Life Coach Chat Channel are the brainchild of creator, executive producer, and host Russ Perry. Now, Russ brought together over 40 life coaches from around the world to share their wisdom, expertise, and professional coaching techniques with you for free. Now, the show airs daily and on various topics that people are struggling with, such as relationship, career, finance, personal development, and more. I'd like to invite Danica Trebell, followed by Connie Costello, to tell us a little bit more about themselves and what they do before we jump on our topic of emotions, food, and expectations. So, Danica, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and where people can find you.
Thank you so much. I am, like she said, Danica Trebell. I'm a family dynamics and life coach. I help bridge the communication gap between parents and children, and I am extremely passionate about empowering the next generation to be able to have their own authentic voices and be able to express themselves and help parents understand how to talk to their kids and also help kids understand how to talk to their parents. Communication is the most important key in life, and when there's clear and effective communication, then there's so much more power in everything that we do. My website is danicatrebell.com. If you'd like to connect with me there, you can also find out a little bit more about me and my history, and also where you can read some of my articles that I've written on parenting and life in general. And I'm super excited to be here with you ladies today and everyone else who's going to be listening and hopefully calling in. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Danica. I'm really excited to have you with us again today. So Connie Costello is also another co-host, and I'd like for you, Connie, to share with us who you are, what you do, and where people can find you.
Sure. Thank you, Claudette. Thank you for having me again in your show. I really enjoy them. And I am very excited about our topic today. I'm a health coach, and I help people mostly to lose weight through the power of food and exercise. There's no magic potions or magic pills or pre-made foods. It's a real deal. I show people how it can be done by saving them time in the kitchen and getting them comfortable with ingredients and so forth so that they can make a habit-forming changes. And that's what really will sustain the weight loss for the long run. So it's about changing lifestyles, and it's very powerful. I love working with people. I'm very passionate about this. So today in our discussion, we're going to see how food plays a big role when it comes to emotional eating and so forth, and it's not just what we eat, but how we eat it. And so I'm very excited. People can find me at www.ConnieCostelloHealth.com. And I encourage you to visit my website. I have many free resources that can really help you in your transformation.
Excellent. Thank you, Connie. I'm really happy to have you again with me as well. So my name is Claudette Chenevier, and I love making miracles happen for people, and at least that's what my clients say. You know, when women call me and tell me that they don't know what to do with their family, their marriage, or what they even want in their own lives, I magically help them turn their lives around with my simple system that I've developed over the years. Now, sometimes the answers that we're seeking are staring us in the face, but for whatever reason, we just can't see those solutions. And I'm here to make them appear and support you in implementing those solutions and turn your relationships from surviving to one that is thriving, one step at a time. Now, my expertise is in communication and conflict resolution skills, and I love creating strong and healthy relationships by providing you with skills and techniques that will create the miracles you want in your life. I'm a regular co-host on Life Coach Radio Network, offering professional coaching advice that you can implement right now and that will transform your relationships one step at a time. I'm very active on Facebook, Google+, as well as Twitter and LinkedIn, and you can find out more about me by visiting my website at www.stepmomcoach.com. I'm really excited about this show as well because a lot of times, you know, we're talking about different things. And I started off the show by sharing that every day we process millions of bits of information in our head. And through those thoughts also influence our emotions and our behaviors. Now, our emotions and our behaviors influence the lifestyle that we choose. And I know that Danica shares that she shared that communication is the most important key in creating the kind of life we want. And Connie shares that, you know, we need to create some healthy habits in our life. But all of those starts also with our thoughts in our heads. And I'd like for us to start with that. So let's start with the thoughts that we're processing in our heads. So, you know, but sometimes our thoughts are not always based on accurate or current beliefs in either who we are or what is right. So I'd like for both of you to share a little bit about, you know, the thought processes that can actually make our decisions either good or bad, and what to do with those thought processes. So I'd like to start with Danica, if it's okay, to talk about, you know, our thought processes, and then, you know, why are we thinking, let's say, inaccurate thoughts about ourselves or our life or the people around us, and what can we do? So let's start with Danica.
Okay. Well, that one is so wide open, actually. There are so many influences in our lives. We are inundated daily and almost subconsciously with misinformation that we take on as our own that doesn't even belong to us, through media like the TV and the radio and the internet and magazines. And I remember my story being when I was a teenager And then even through my adult life that, you know, I had to look like the girl in the magazine and be that thin, or I wasn't good enough for anyone to be my friend or to have a boyfriend or anything like that. And so I turned to eating disorders to find my identity. And the thoughts around that were, like I said, that I had to fit somebody else's image when it was, you know, now the thoughts are we need to be okay with who we are so that everyone around us will also be okay with us, and then we empower other people to be okay with themselves. And it's, the, you know, and we can also take in even our parents, what's the word I'm looking for, like their influences on us that they even may have gotten from their parents, but they've never tested that, is this true or not? And there's just such an, like I said, inundation of so many things that can be, that need to be questioned, actually. Are these true for me? Is this something that I enjoy? Is this how I should look? Or, you know, is this, am I comfortable thinking about these things? And then just going from there, there's... I could get more specific. Ask me the specific question about a topic, and then we'll narrow it down.
No, and I love this, and this is just to open up the conversation about thoughts, because from thoughts, then we'll be able to show and share with our listeners, you know, where everything starts, because a lot of times I think we don't realize that our lifestyle is created, whatever lifestyle it is, whether it's around your eating habits, how you're living, your relationships, the kind of relationships you have, the kind of joy, happiness you have in your life, it all starts with thoughts. And so you shared some great things here, you know, that a lot of our thoughts come from misinformation. And when we don't question ourselves about, you know, is this true or not, or does it make sense, or does it fit who I really want to become, I think that's where it starts to influence our the part of who we become, and later on having issues and trying to deal with those issues. So Connie, I'd love for you to, you know, share with us a little bit more, you know, about our thoughts. And just like Danica shared, you know, where do our thoughts come from, and why is it that sometimes they're, you know, especially when you're talking, I know you like to talk about food. So what is it that around food that we have these thoughts that are not true, or, you know, that are not good for us?
Sure. First of all, Danica's experience is her own, so that's extremely valuable for all of us. My experience with emotional eating and different eating disorders comes through my clients. And in my role in this is to support them as they try to figure out who they are. Like you mentioned, Danica, it's many of their insecurities and their self-worth is in question when they're feeling this way. And they resort to food to fill in that void.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what happens is once they resort to the food, our food supply is loaded with a lot of ingredients that actually make it very addictive. So then they have to battle that aspect of it, that they start eating and they can't stop eating because of the physical process that happens, not just the emotional. And it's extremely a very difficult thing for somebody to overcome. And the thoughts are definitely key to for them to realize that they're okay. They're a very valuable person, and they need to just work on the issues at hand and not start to really go into thoughts that are not real. Because I think many people, when they start getting depressed and not feeling self-worth for themselves, we can go into very ugly places and start thinking that we are not of any value and so forth. So it's getting people out of there, getting them to enjoy life, not just by valuing the people around them, but also the nature. Get out and start getting them to become more mobile and to, and of course, in my side, it's looking at the food and see how the food can nourish them so that they can move on.
Yeah, that's so true. It is. And, you know, when you talked about food becomes addictive, you know, it's like anything else. You know, you can't, we're talking about food here, but there's other things that we can become addicted to, like internet and TV and, you know, social media and that feeds into our thought process. And so it becomes a vicious circle. You know, once you start being unable to detach yourself from certain things, whether it's, you know, either shopping or hoarding or food or, you know, anything that you're doing on a repetitive basis that you are feeling is not actually helping you bring in joy or happiness, even people, you know, we tend to, if we hang around people that are not helping us, that becomes very destructive. And then our tape recorder in our head just goes on replay constantly. And then it's really hard to stop that recording and to, you know, change that thought process.
Yeah.
I know that, and, you know, it's a question of understanding, you know, when is it that, you know, I need to change this? And so I'd like for both of you to share with me, you know, we have this process going inside our head, and it's affecting our lifestyle. And all of a sudden, we wake up and say, oh, my, you know, how can I stop this train wreck from happening? Because that's what's happening, right? We're constantly thinking about all kinds of things, and then it's leading to unhealthy behaviors, unhealthy emotional cryouts. Even people who are constantly angry, you know, starts with their thought process and the lifestyle we choose, so it becomes a vicious circle. So what are some of the things that someone can help or do to stop that thought process from taking control of their lives before it's too late? So do you want to start, Danica, on that one?
Absolutely, and I would like to comment, too, about the foods and how our thoughts around foods, just to play on what you said a little bit, Connie. There are so many diets, and I really almost am to the point where that word makes me just shudder, that are out there because everybody's looking for that next thing that will make them better, you know, or help them eat better. And there's so much misinformation even around nutrition. And it's so unfortunate because, you know, diets are intended to be short-lived. You can't stay on a diet forever, but yet our thoughts are so conditioned to be like, okay, this diet's going to work. Oh, maybe I should do this diet. And we're always searching for something external to fix what's going on the internal. And so at least that's been my experience. And I'm a personal trainer also, and I know that nutrition is a big issue with a lot of my clients. And so, that you, like I said, that's been my experience. And so now, Claudette, what was your original question? I apologize.
No, it's okay because, you know, I love what you said about, you know, we're looking for external fix to fix the internal problem. And so which turns into, you know, so we know that our thoughts are sometimes driving us into behaviors that are not healthy for us. And and so, you know, how do we shut down that negative, unproductive thought process so that we don't end up crash and burn and whatever it is happening before it's too late?
Wow. And I would love to say that I have the answer that here, do this one thing and it'll be fixed forever. You know, like Samantha on Bewitched, just do a little nose twitch and everything's fine.
Yeah.
It's a lot of unlearning, actually. It's a lot of, for me, and I'll speak for myself personally, I was very diligent about getting to know myself. I spent a lot of time really just working on me, shutting out as much of the noise as I could from the outside world, because I knew that if I didn't fix me, my kids were going to have the same lifestyle and same thoughts and same habits and behaviors that I had, because I had instilled them on my children, and I knew that was unacceptable. I had suffered too much to allow them to suffer, so I really just started working on what brought me joy, what changed my thinking from those negatives to positives, and I would love to say was easy, but there were a lot of times that it wasn't, because those negative thoughts are so prevalent most of the time, and we don't trust that we're allowed to have joy and peace and happiness in our lives, because I feel like we're so conditioned that that's the abnormal, that misery is our normal, and so we go with what's comfortable and what's known, even though we're extremely uncomfortable in that space. So, you know, for me, it was aligning my reading and my listening and everything with everything that did not agree with what I had already known wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the process of unlearning what I had already learned and trying on the opposite to see if that were going to work. And it was baby steps for a while, but then after that, once it catches on and you can catch those thoughts and start turning them into, again, the question, is this true? Does it work for me? Is it right for me? Is this really what it's all about? Then, you know, just being aware of those thoughts and then taking steps from the positive will propel you to continue to do that.
Yeah. And it's true, right? It's to take yourself by the hand, or, you know, if you have to shake yourself and say, hey, you know, I have to become self-aware and to change my environment, whether it's in your life, in what you're doing, in your food, whatever it is that is making you so uncomfortable, because I believe that there are people out there that are comfortable being uncomfortable or being miserable,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
that's what they know. You know, it's just whether it's in a bad relationship, bad eating habits, you know, being inactive, people that get comfortable in being miserable because they know what to expect. And that's hard. It is really, really hard to change that. So Connie, what about, you know, you? What are your thoughts around, you know, changing your thought process? And I know, Danica, you're right. There's no magic pill. But I think the one thing that is important is to at least take a step, and that step
mm-hmm.
could be just, you know, doing some self-reflection. So
yeah,
what about
yeah.
you, Connie?
Well, I think definitely changing the environment is so important. And like you mentioned, Claudette, we are creatures of habit. So we get used to something, we get comfortable with it, even though it's not good for us. And we resist change, and it takes a lot to really go for that step to make change
mm-hmm.
happen. And I think of very important is to surround yourself with positive people. there are some people out there who just take all your energy. They suck the energy from you. And that those people are not good people to surround yourself with. I mean, they have a lot of influence in how we feel and what we do. I was just listening to the Food Revolution this weekend and the whole week, and somebody mentioned that, you know, if you surround yourself, if your friends are overweight, the chances of you being overweight are so big, much bigger than if your family is overweight. So peers have a tremendous influence on us, and we know that, right, the peer pressure effect. The way I like to see it is, you know, you have to surround yourself with people who can support you, motivate you, provide you with accountability and know-how, can help you along the way. And I call that the smack effect. And it's what, you know, people, normal people, your friends, your family can help you with. And even a good coach should be able to provide those things. So to help the person move into a more positive thinking. Definitely, it's just so important to take that step. And Danica, you mentioned about the diet. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it confusing?
It is. Yeah, oh, my goodness. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, the food landscape out there is just so hard to figure out. And then we have all these books telling us what we're supposed to eat or not eat. The thing is, many of these diets do work because they work for certain people, but not for others. What works for me is not going to work for you, and that's what people have to come into terms with. They can't be going from one diet to a next diet. They have to go through a process where they can identify the foods that will help them feel good, give them energy, shed the pounds, resolve their digestive issues, clear their skin, their mind, make them think clearer, their emotions. They have to go through a process of identifying that so that they can move on to designing a diet of their own that is going to nourish them and is going to make them, you know, happy, actually, of delicious foods. And that's what I help people do, that whole change. But it's not instantaneous. It took years for people to put on the weight, and it's going to take them a while to get it off.
Right.
So we're used to the speedy, we want everything now, we want it fast, but unfortunately it's proven time and time again that it doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
Or if it's not a lasting change.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is, it's true, people are looking for that magic pill, right? And something that's going to be painless. But change doesn't happen without pain. You know, that thing, no pain, no gain. Unfortunately, it's true. I mean, if you're thinking of a seed that you're putting in a ground and it's all dark and isolated, but once the sun hits it, you know, it has to break that shell that it's protecting the inside of that seed. It has to push and break that shell and go through that earth, that darkness, in order to reach the sun. I know it's a metaphor, but, you know, I think life is like that, right? We tend to sometimes put ourselves in situations where we're in a dark place. We feel ourselves in a dark situation, whether it's with food eating disorders, or, you know, we don't like the way we look, we're overweight, or we're in a bad relationship, or we're struggling in trying to identify who we are as a person, that it would be like the dark part of our lives. And then if you reach out, if you just extend a hand and say, you know what, I think something's not right. Just starting by that extends your ability to be able to reach out and get that sunlight you need in order to grow out of that shell and of that jail you constructed around yourself. And, you know, one of the things I've done a lot in my personal life to help me move forward, and again, there are no perfect solutions, and as Connie mentioned, you know, what's good for one person may not be necessarily good for another. And that's why, you know, I love doing these shows and talking with coaches just like you so that we can share different ideas so that people can see, you know what, I like this idea. This helps me and this fits for my lifestyle. And one of the things I've done a lot is I journaled. I journal a lot because it was something I was able to do, especially if I didn't have people around me that I trusted enough to be able to say, hey, listen, you know, I'm in trouble. And it's true that when you are surrounded with people that may not be of your best influence or may not understand what you're going through, and they're trying to help you and tell you, oh, just do this, it'll work, I tell you. Because that's what a lot of times we see on social media and books. And just do this, I promise, you'll be better. It's not a problem. And then you realize you're only getting yourself more deeper into trouble, or you feel more isolated, or you actually feel like a bigger loser if it's not working. Right. And so, you know, and I've been in therapy, and I have had and I still have coaches to help me move forward. But one of the things that was a simple, cost-effective way, actually it's a no-cost thing, is, you know, just journaling. And through that process of journaling, I could actually write, and I would look and I would say, oh, my gosh, who is this person? You know, this isn't the person I want to be. And then I realized that my lifestyle would reflect the emotions that were there, and I could see when I gained weight or when I lost weight or when I was angry or my relationships weren't so well by the words that were put on that journal. And, you know, I could actually see the progression of my relationship with as I journaled through, because my words would change, and my relationship to myself and with others and around being the best I could would actually be influenced at that time. So again, there are different strategies and different ways of dealing with things. And, you know, there's no magic pill. There's no instant gratification. It's a process. It's a process that takes time, and we, you know, it's something that we grow. And I believe that it's a process that is a lifelong process. You know, I personally see myself as the more, like, the older I get, the less I realize I know, and I still need to know more. You know, there's so much to learn and to improve upon ourselves. And so it's really important to not stop at any point thinking, oh, I'm good, I've learned this, I've mastered this, I can just sit and relax and just take it all in, because it doesn't work that way in real life. But before we continue with our conversation, I just want to share some of the upcoming shows that we have. And as I mentioned earlier, we have three networks, and I'd love to share with you some of the shows that are coming up. We have tonight at 8 p.m., at 9 p.m. on Life Coach Chat Channel, we have Believe with Angelique Joseph, and she is going to talk about different things on her channel. Then right after this show, at 2 p.m. on International Radio Show, we have Holy Shift, with professional coaches Barb Heenan and Leslie Ficchietti. And then tomorrow on Life Coach Radio Network at 8 p.m., we have New You City Chat with host Danielle Mercuro. And, you know, I invite you to check out our upcoming shows by going to our Facebook page, which is Life Coach Radio Network, or on Twitter, which is Life Coach Radio. And if you want to find out more about Life Coach Radio and the co-hosts, you can go to lifecoachradionetworks.com. So we've been talking about emotions, food, and our thought process as well as our expectations. And I'm with Danica Trabell and Connie Castello, and we've been sharing about, you know, a lot of things regarding how we think about ourselves and the impact it has on our lives, including, you know, having eating disorders and changing our habits. You know, I'd love to go a little bit more into our habits. We talked about this a little bit, and, you know, we talked about our food habits, changing our thought processes. It's a habit, and people we're around. So I'd like to, for both of you, to tell me a little bit more, how do you maintain a good habit? Because as we said earlier, you know, it's easy for us to, you know, be comfortable in being, not all of us, but some people are comfortable being miserable, and that's a habit. And we talked about some of the ways to change our thought process. But how do we maintain a healthy habit? So let's say that we decided I'm going to change. This is I'm committed to doing something different. You know, I want to eat healthy. I want to exercise. I want to create some healthy relationships in my life. I want some more intimacy in my relationship, happy kids and parenting. So how do we maintain some good, healthy habits? So let's start with you, Connie.
Okay. That is a big focus in my coaching, to change habits. And I think it starts with a desire. You have to be ready. You want to make a change. There's people can't make you change. You have to want it. Once you have that desire, then you're going to seek probably help, whether it's by getting informed as much as you can, and that is great because knowledge is power. But then action is change, and getting to that point of making the change and incorporating this new habit into your life takes time. So what I recommend my clients is we work at one habit at a time. If you try to do more, you get overwhelmed, and then it's not successful. And it takes time to make that habit stick. So it's a process. It's a slow process, but just three new habits can make a tremendous difference in your life. So it's not like, oh, my goodness, it's going to take me a while to change one habit. No, well, one habit is a big deal. So people should just concentrate on one first, and I think that's how it becomes successful. In terms of food, one big habit that I have my clients really change is eating in the home, starting to prepare their meals. It's very convenient to get all the food out there, to stop at the store and get pre-made foods, eat out at restaurants, fast foods, and so forth. But they are not healthy for us. It's fine to do it once in a while, but the majority of the time we have to get back in our kitchen. And that, many people tell me, Connie, I don't have the time. And it's true. We're busy, busy, busy. But like I say, life is busy until it's not. And then we really don't have the time. So you have to make time for yourself. You have to make this is such a priority. And so like I told you at the beginning of the show, on my website, I have those free resources to help people. I have appliances that work, and I came up with one specific for this show called Making Meals Work Together, meaning I have come up with 11 pointers to help you with the advanced food preparation so that the week ahead is not going to be so overwhelming, and then meals that work together, like meals with quinoa, meals with black beans, salads that work together, and that streamline your time in the kitchen. So I really encourage people, please do go. I mean, they are completely free. And just download them. They're great tips, great recipes, and it's a start. I'm trying to help you get in that kitchen and enjoy it. You know, enjoy it with your loved ones, and it's a great place to be instead of whatever. There is time. We just have to prioritize our time, and taking care of yourself is one very big priority. So that's what I have to offer.
Great. And thank you, because, you know, it's true. Eating and is one of the habits that, you know, it can be hard to maintain. And, you know, personally, I prefer eating at home rather than in a restaurant, because over time I discovered that as we were eating out, I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling my best. And I think the time the biggest impact that eating out had for me is we had gone on vacation with the family. We had been away for 7 days, and we ate our 3 meals a day at a restaurant. And by the fourth day, I was so miserable. And it actually impacted the quality of our vacation because I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling well. I was drained. I was tired. I was irritable. I had very little patience. And then I said, I don't know what's going on. But, you know, and we kept eating it at restaurants because we were staying at a hotel. But when I came home and started eating, I love fruits and vegetables. I actually enjoy eating that a lot. And so when I came back home and started eating my fruits and vegetables, you know, I realized, wow, you know, I changed. I felt better. And I started to experiment, you know, with that. And I could actually see the impact. And so we really make it a habit in our home to eat most of our meals at home. And I enjoy grocery shopping because I enjoy, you know, exploring new vegetables and fruits and finding new ways of preparing them. But, you know, it's a habit. It was a habit created out of necessity because of an experience I lived to not feeling good. And actually, you know, having a very miserable vacation because of it. So, you know, just so that people realize that, you know, if you feel like your relationship is suffering, look at what you're doing. Look at your food intake and look at the relationship you have around food and make it a very routine or ritual. You know, create a ritual around food. You know, there's a reason why we say the kitchen is the hub of the house and of families. Because this is where we prepare food and we celebrate being together and we have conversations and we talk and we have relationships and we share stories and communicate and connect with one another. So you can actually, you know, use food as a way of connecting with people. So I just needed to share this because it came to mind. I have to share this because I thought it was so... on topic.
Yeah.
Well, that's what people need to listen, you know, experiences that really transform so many aspects. And you, that's right, that's what it does. Food can be an amazing change, very positive. I'm glad you went through that. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. So what about you, Danica? How do you help or maintain healthy habits once you see that, you know, there's something that is a healthy habit for you? How do you maintain a healthy habit?
I echo what Connie said. It's doing one thing at a time and getting really good at it and then going on to the next thing until it becomes second nature. I was thinking about how we can have the knowledge of doing something different, but until we practice it, it's just going to be knowledge. It's not going to be, you know, something that we actually have integrated into our lives. It's like looking at a recipe and saying, oh, this is what that's going to taste like when you've never even put the ingredients together and eaten it. You can have the information, but until you work it, until you understand and put it into practice how it's going to affect your life, and then understand that there will be times when life will throw you a curveball and you have to go ahead and step up that game on that one habit and just keep adapting as you go along. And usually when you start with one habit and getting to that, the root of the one thing, then all of the other things will unfold so much easier because you'll have that learning process in place that you can start seeing what's coming at you, and you'll learn how to respond differently rather than react with our old operating system. And so it's just putting one thing into place and then getting that foundation solid and then building the house around it, basically. It is just, you know, practice, practice, practice. And it doesn't have to be hard either. It can be fun. And if we look at it as work, then we're going to dread it, and that change is going to be even harder. So we can look at it as, going back to the seed analogy, that we're growing that beautiful flower that's popping out of that seed, or the vegetables that are coming out of the seeds, or anything that is going to be nutritious and beautiful for our lives. Change is only going to hurt for a minute if we even allow it that much time, because what comes behind it, it is going to last so much longer than that little bit of discomfort from growing. So that's what works for me. Because when I had put so much fear behind change, and it's, oh my gosh, it's going to hurt so bad, and it's going to take forever, and when we feed ourselves those thoughts, then sure, that's what we're going to have. But if we're around positive people who can encourage us to be like, I got you through this, or even, you know, just renewing our mind around this, okay, I got this, I got this, I got this, it's one thing, it's one thing, I can make it through today. And sometimes I've had to just make it through today pondering that one thought of, okay, I'm going to think this today, and whenever this thought pops up. And it's whatever you need to do to get you to that next step. And, and knowing it's okay, that it's it is what it is.
And I love what you both shared. You know, habits are something that, you know, we want to create healthy habits. And, you know, I shared my story about, you know, how I created the habit of, you know, food, and I looked at it as a ritual, just like you shared, Danica. You know, look at it from a different perspective. You know, change your thought process around what is going. And I want to share to our listeners a book that I read several years ago that really helped me to understand how habits are created and how we can change them to make them stick. And it's called Switch, How to Change Things When Change is Hard, from Chip Heath and Van Heath. And they talk about, you know, how can you take a habit and to make it into a positive. And again, both of them agree that you take one habit and you change it. You replace it with something better. So a lot of times people will say, well, I'm going to eliminate this habit. And the reality is you cannot stop a habit from happening. You have to transform it or replace it with something better. So whether it's with food, you know, if you're used to eating junk food or fast food or whatever, you need to replace it with healthier possibilities, healthier replacements. The same with if you're not exercising, you know, start by adding walking up the stairs up and down, you know, or walking around the block or just walking a little bit. And those are little changes. A lot of times I've had some of my clients share with me that they're in the habit of negative conversation or negative comments, you know, and it becomes a habit. People sometimes don't realize that if they're always nagging or complaining, it's a habit. It's a habit, and it can change. And one example I had was
a mom who kept complaining to her husband about the things he didn't do. And then she realized it was a bad habit she had created for herself, you know, focusing on what he wasn't doing rather than what he was. And she realized that if she didn't change that habit for herself, she was going to lose her husband because he was getting very fed up. And so, again, it's a question of taking the time to become aware that something is not going well, that you need to do something different. And for her, we talked about, well, what is the one thing he does that you do appreciate? Well, he does the dishes, he picks up my daughter after school, he folds my clothes. And I said, do you let him know? Well, she said, well, no, I don't. And so, and this is where journaling comes in. So I had her journal every night for 30 days the five things that she was grateful for her husband. And over time, she started to share, and I said to her, if you feel comfortable, share this with your husband at night before you go to bed and see what happens. And then she started to realize, she said, you know, I have less a desire to nag or to complain and more to share what is actually helping. And so that was her way of maintaining, because she invited her husband to share in her habit changing so that he could continue supporting her. And I continued supporting her by, you know, acknowledging her. So whatever habit you're creating and you're wanting to change, if you engage another person with you and have that other person help you to maintain that habit, that positive change, whether it's food, whether it's cooking, and you're asking your family, well, what is it that you like? Did you enjoy this? Was this good? And, you know, incorporate the people around you. Whatever it is, just have people say, you know, did they enjoy it? And you know, we all love feedback. We all love positive responses to whatever we're doing. And I think that's part of creating a healthy, strong habit that continues. And it needs to be maintained. You know, it's something that because a lot of times people say it only takes 21 days. Well, actually, I think I saw a new study, and it takes 2.5 months to really transform a habit, but you still need to maintain it. It's, you know, because it's inside of you. And so there's great resources out there to help you with creating healthy habit, whether it's around food, addictions. But if you have an addiction, that's where you really need the help of a professional, you know, because those are rooted inside your thoughts and your behaviors, and sometimes those are harder to change. So we've just shared some great information. There's a lot that we shared, and I'd love, before we finish, I just want to again talk about some of the shows that are coming up, and then I'll have both Danica and Connie share some last thoughts about what we just shared today and how we can get a hold of them. So again, our next few shows on the network are going to be today at 2 p.m., and that is on International Radio Show, and the show is Holy Shift with professional coaches Barb Heenan and Leslie Pacietti. And then later tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on Life Coach Chat Channel, we have Angelique Joseph on her show, Believe. And then tomorrow on Life Coach Radio Network at 8 p.m. Eastern, we have Danielle Mercurio on her show, New You City Chat. And again, if you want to find out more about our upcoming shows, follow us on Facebook at Life Coach Radio Network or on Twitter on Life Coach Radio, or you can go to our website to find out more about our host, our co-host, and about Life Coach Radio Network. And you can go to lifecoachradionetworks.com. So, again, we talked about a lot of things today. It was a great show. We talked about, you know, our thought processes, how to deal with our thoughts when to discover and to realize that they're healthy or not healthy, that, you know, it's a habit. And whether it's with your relationship, with your eating, with your life in general, you know, what is it that is working and what is not? And we shared some ideas that, you know, social media tends to show us things that are not realistic and don't help us to create the kind of life we want. We talked about having people surround us, that the people you're with can influence the kind of lifestyle you have, and that the better life you want, you know, surround yourself with people. And we talked about our habits and how to maintain healthy habits, and we shared some great strategies. So I would like to start with Connie. What are your last thoughts about our show? Some things that you would like our listeners to remember, and where can we reach you?
All right. Well, like you said, it was a great show with a lot of information, but I wanted to touch on what you mentioned, writing. It is one of my most powerful tools to help people through the process. A food journal. A food journal is amazing what it does, because it really brings you in touch with what you're eating and how it's affecting you. And as you continue the journal and as you're making the changes, you, like you mentioned, it's what you write totally changes. And you start seeing how food can be so powerful in the transformation. So that's a really great thing you brought out. And again, I just can be found at www.ConnieCostelloHealth.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and many others out there, Google Plus. Then I particularly would love for people to visit the website and get their whatever tools they need. There's some there and they can use them. And again, Claudette, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure and a great show once more.
Thank you so much, Connie. I really enjoyed your input and your wisdom that you shared with us. And, you know, I think it's important for us to understand that food does impact the kind of life we live. And, you know, we can create a better life for ourselves just by eating better and, you know, or creating rituals around food, as I shared earlier. So, and thank you for sharing about the food journal. And, you know, I think that's a great start to creating the kind of life that people want. Thank you. So, Danica, what are your last thoughts about our show, and where can people reach you?
Thank you so much for this great conversation. It's been helpful for me to be reminded of, especially journaling. I preach journaling, and yet I tend to fall off because I get so busy, or, you know, I tell myself I'm too busy to journal, when that's one of the most powerful tools we have. It truly is. It gets all of our thoughts out of our brain and on paper, and we're able to see what we're thinking and process. Is it true? Is this really who I desire to be? Is this, wow, I really was thinking that? And to see how it fluctuates and how we can be very aware of changing those thoughts and making it fun. I was just reading something the other day about changing thoughts, and it said, think about that old VH1 show that had pop-up video where it would be talking about little things that were going on during the time that video was made or whatnot. And then if our thoughts are negative or if they're not serving us in that time, just have that pop-up thought just disappear, pop it and make it go away and fill that space with something else that's actually going to help you get through that moment or be a more positive and influential thought. And that's kind of fun too. Be like, it's empowering to be able to notice that negative thought and say, all right, you're out. I got something else going on. So I thought that was kind of fun. And my website again is DanicaTrebel.com, Danica Treble. And I would look forward to many more of these shows with you ladies and all of our other wonderful colleagues that we use to help with every situation, because life is, it can be very tricky. And when we are surrounded by people who are here to help us and uplift us and drag us out of the mud when we need it, all the better. So I'm grateful for the connection with you ladies and whoever else out there could use a hand every now and then. So thank you again.
Thank you, Danica.
Yeah, and again, you know, one of the reasons why I love doing these shows is that there's always some nuggets of wisdom that comes out. I mean, these shows are geared to help you, the listeners, and even ourselves, you know, get back in touch with what we do and what we know. And like both of you ladies, there, I always learn something, and, you know, the changing habits starts with one little thing. And, you know, for me, it's getting into more into motion and movement so that, you know, I need to exercise more. And, you know, just doing that one thing a little bit more often and to build on it. So you start small and you build on it. And, you know, there's a reason I think that we come together and that you're here listening on this show is because, you know, there's something in our lives that we want to improve. We want to create a better relationship with ourselves, with others, and that when we do that, we create a better world for everyone, not just for ourselves, but for the people around us and for the future generation. And I think that it starts with us becoming aware that there's things we need to do in order to feel better so that when we feel better, other people around us feel better. And when other people around us feel better, we're actually impacting our community, our society. And so it's really about, you know, creating a better world for everyone. And so I thank both my co-hosts, Danica Treball and Connie Costello, for being with me on this show, and I love every moment of it. And for those who want to know more about my work, about step families, about women who are instant moms or trying to understand what it is that they need to do in order to create a healthier and happier life, especially in a time when it's not easy to come into a family, a ready-made family, that has all their norms and their habits and their rituals established. So how can you come in there and create a sense of togetherness? So that's where I help. And so to find out more about what I do, you can go to my website, which is stepmomcoach.com, or you can Google the Stepmom Coach, and you'll find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Pinterest, so just about everywhere you can imagine. So again, thank you everyone for being here. I love the show. I love being with you, and I look forward to our next show very soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.